John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.
Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast,
the show where we talk about business, marketing, and interspecies dating apps.
I'm Ralph Kearns, the founder of Tier 11.
I'm Kasim Aslam, the co-founder of the Driven Mastermind.
And you didn't do your Boston accent on that one.
No, but I got you.
You did get me.
Yeah.
You can actually hear sort of my bronchitis, my pneumonia, my old man pneumonia.
Yeah.
Because I'm like 40 years older than you.
So zapping life out of you.
Yeah.
You have survived these, old man diseases.
That's right. It's my second pandemic. I'm going on my third. If I left and lived that long, you know, the Boston accent, which, by the way, is atrocious that you do. Because we're going to hear a good one today.
A real one.
I don't even know what you have. Is it a Scottsdale accent? Like, what is this accent? Is
it
like
born in Albuquerque? Yeah. But yeah. Albuquerque's like this, Ralph. You're all thaw, huh?
Really?
Yeah. I went to a barber shop in Albuquerque and I asked if I could sign to wait. And he goes, the thing is, we only take Joaquins. And for far too long, I was convinced that he only cuts the hair of people named Joaquin. And I was like, what a niche market this man has found.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like only got, if your name is like Fred. No.
No.
Awesome. No.
No.
Joaquin?
Joaquin.
This is
Take
your
a seat.
So now we know where Kasim's accent actually comes from, which is basically nowhere. But today's accent is an accent that is near and dear to my heart, even though it annoys the hell out of me most of the time when it's exaggerated, and or in one of those stupid Duncan commercials with Ben Affleck where he totally exaggerates it.
Mm.
The one and only Scott, Wicked Scott, Desgraciliers. No, what is it? I still can't pronounce your last name. I've known each other for 10 years.
Desgraciliers. 14 years.
Desgraciliers.
There you go.
I got it.
You're here first. What a good start to the pod. Look at that memory.
Desgraciliers is here to talk about, well, we've talked about this in a couple of podcasts. John Moran was on here railing against ROAS. Now it's a false god. It can be manipulated any way possible. But he also talked about what I think, and what I think we all think here, is the most important metric of all, which you're going to be discussing here today, because Wicked Reports actually shows this, and it's a real number, and it's the thing that people care about the most. Most of attribution is a bunch of crap, really. I think we can probably say that. But the one metric, all right, well, all right, good. We'll have an honest debate here. But this one metric, which I don't think any of us really knew was inside Wicked Reports, which is obviously you're the CEO and founder of Wicked Reports. Tell us about what it is. What's the most important metric that people should be measuring if they want to scale and grow their business using a software attribution tool? Or if they haven't, why they should even consider using a third-party attribution software in order to get the right results they want for their business.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wouters and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much.
And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
So the metric you're referring to is NCAC, which is new customer acquisition costs. So through our integrations, we're pulling in data from your CRM, such as Klaviyo, wherever you're doing your sales, because we want to have the best, cleanest data possible. Because we found, you know, the reason why we have a business, Facebook and Google's data is not the cleanest, and it's obviously not the most unbiased. Their goals are to extract more money from you. And so people running campaigns, and hopefully people start buying either right away or down in the future, we're able to segment whether you have a new customer or it was a repeat customer. And then we look at how much you're spending to determine what is actually the cost to acquire the new customers versus the cost to reacquire the customers you already had for this next second, third, whatever purchase it's going to be. And what we found was pretty startling, or I mean, intuitively makes sense, but it might be startling when you see the data. One is that, you know, you think you're buying new customers, and a lot of times a lot of repeats are sneaking in there, no matter how good your exclusion lists are, how pristine they've been uploaded, a lot of repeats are sneaking in. But also the new customer acquisition costs are a lot higher than to reacquire a customer that's already familiar with your brand, already bought from you before. It's usually, you know, as a ballpark, it's usually double. And then from segmenting the new customers and repeat, we're able to do a bunch of statistics on new versus repeat. What's the LTV? What's the AOV? What's the cohort value over time? As maybe not expected, but what generally holds up is that it's more expensive to buy a new customer when they're truly new. They may or may not be new according to the murky algorithms. To get higher value takes a little bit more time than it does when you have someone rebuying from you.
Mm.
Well, I think that's one of the big challenges with the platforms themselves is that they'll show conversions. We're talking about like website conversion campaigns here. They'll show you conversions, but in many, many, many cases, and we've had many examples of this, I think we talked about them, especially in the last four or five or six shows here in Perpetual Traffic, is that they come through as view-through conversions they would have bought anyway. And Facebook, or Meta in this case, will claim credit for it, but it's actually not a new customer. It's a customer that was already aware of the brand, maybe as a repeat buyer. And the real trick to this is to be able to figure out what your NCAC is versus your CAC. And those are two very different numbers. And John Moran and I talked about this a couple of shows back. We'll leave links to it in the show notes. But that is the metric for me. Like everything else sort of falls by the wayside. And the platforms themselves don't do a great job at being able to stratify this stuff out. I know Meta doesn't. It's because I'm in there every single day. I mean, Google, to a certain degree, and John obviously talked about that, especially with performance max shifting over to mostly Google Shopping now, is that these metrics are giving people a false sense of security. And then they say, oh, look at all the customers I'm getting. And then their bank account is either declining or staying the same.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily what you want. And you can pull that out of your Shopify and figure out like, what are new customers? What are repeat customers? The point is like, you need a mechanism to be able to do that. You need a mechanism that shows you where these are coming from and which channel specifically they're coming from. If they're coming from one channel or the other, chances are they're probably all working together. But the point is that NCAC number is the key to growth, because that's what people will hire us to do. They don't hire us to sell more to their current customers. Yes, we'll certainly do that, but that's easy. That's called retargeting. That's called just blast your email list and tell them to buy and do lots of buy one, get one free and flash sales and all these other sorts of things. Point is that doesn't grow the business, that stagnates the business. So a combination of the two is obviously what is a real healthy business. But NCAC was a number that I don't think a lot of folks even knew existed inside the Wicked Reports platform. And maybe we can even like do a screen share here, because We now have a YouTube channel where we can do these sorts of things. Ooh. But that is, in my opinion, there is no more important metric, because it's the thing that our customers and that businesses, when they really want to scale and grow, want to understand. Then you need somebody smart to be able to sift through the data and figure out how do you channel or how do you change your media mix in order to maximize that new customer growth.
Yeah, you definitely need alignment with your client that, hey, okay, we're going for new. We now have verifiable new customers. We can send you the order IDs so you'll see. And that, because it'd be tempting as an agency or your media buyer just to your boss, because those repeats do trickle in off the paid ads. And then the question becomes, well, would they have bought anyway? I mean, if it's a Google search and you're searching for the problem area, then they might not have bought if it wasn't for the search ad if it's a repeat. But if it's a Facebook, yeah, in your example, Facebook view through, yeah, it's garbage. It's total. Because, I mean, like, I go to ESPN to manage my fantasy hockey team every day. I'm in there jockeying the lineup. And there's ads all over the place. I never look at them. I'm blind. I'm just looking at my stats, trying to jockey the lineup. I'm not looking. Those aren't, I mean, maybe they're working on my subconscious somehow. I doubt it, though. And then, yeah, they're being used to show false. That case, that's a false ROAS on a view through.
Right. Scott, you said something that I think our listeners should be reminded of on a repeated basis, which is they have to achieve some level of alignment. And it doesn't matter if you've got an in-house team, if you have a full-time employee as a vendor, an agency, whatever. This is the disadvantage you're going to put yourself at. I'm talking maybe mostly to the business owners, director of marketing, C-suites. Whatever you ask for, you're going to get. You have to be careful what you ask for. Because if you ask for a high ROAS, I can 100% pump up that ROAS. But then we run into the issue that we're in now. And if you ask for, you know, hey, let's focus on NCAC. I want a low NCAC. Fine, I can do that too. But now we're going to go atrophy and sacrifice the campaigns that we're actually bringing back repeat customers that wouldn't have bought otherwise. So you're not allowed to be ignorant any longer as to the costs and the risks of neglecting certain avenues and routes of marketing. And it's all of them, right? People like to neglect brand or neglect organic or neglect top of funnel or neglect bottom of the funnel because they think that they're going to get it no matter what. And because of just how granular the ad networks are getting as far as their ability to deliver on exactly what you're asking, you have to get real clear on the balance of risks that exist. And so if you haven't had those conversations internally, and to be honest with you, I think this means managing expectations with your executive staff. If you're a marketing person and you haven't explained to the person you report to why this shit matters, and tried to champion the real data instead of, you know, whatever it is that you're going to get pat on the head for, you're putting everybody at a massive disadvantage. And the day they wake up and figure it out, you're going to be the one holding the bag. So that was my little soapbox. But I appreciated you say that, because I think before we go and dive neck deep into here's how to do this, there's the practical conversation of the soft skill of here's how to explain and advocate for the data.
Positioning. You got to position it right.
You got to sell it.
Because why do agencies have a lot of... Unfortunately, they get a decent amount of churn because you come in, you jack up the ROAS because you got better retargeting, fresh stuff. And then when it starts to run, the flow starts to run out and you got to get more top of the funnel, more new eyeballs. That's when the ROAS comes down, and then the brand owner's in there fretting because they got big plans for you, big plans for you to scale to the moon. And we see that happen. So attribution is a tool like anything else. You got to match the intention of the marketing to the way you're going to use it. You're going to use it for new customer acquisition. Use NCAC and use the top of the funnel attribution if it's even available. You get a first click, first visit, first couple visits maybe. I like first couple visits personally. I don't think the first visit. I think you should do a first couple visits, but depends on if you can measure that. I mean, we can. You know, if you're retargeting, then it's bottom. Or maybe it's middle if you got a long cycle where you got to capture a lead and get them on the phone and upsell them to a mastermind or bring them Botox or whatever. Then you need all three, top, middle, and bottom. And then there's different ways to approach the attribution because it's a tool to help you grow your business efficiently. It also can be, let's just make sure it all adds up to what I sold, but that's not what helps you grow just because you can account for all the revenue and all the spend. It's more using it as a weapon, as an advantage for your brand, not just, look, I can make the numbers add up.
I think once people start to figure out that NCAC is the metric they should be measuring, it's going to be a wake-up call for them. I know you sort of said this, but I think it's really, really important. And we try to couch this, and I'm drawing on like Tier 11 solution here, because it's like when a customer comes to us, like this is what they're looking for. They're looking for new customer acquisition. And enhancing lifetime value. Great. New customer acquisition is the hardest part, I think. But typically, most agencies fudge that number so that it looks great on the front end. We just got a customer that's like 300, 400% ROAS on all of their meta ads. They're spending $30,000 a month. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to cut your spend down to basically $10,000 a month. Because all of those people are all view through conversions and you're just wasting money. So we immediately saved them $15,000, now $20,000 in that first month in ad spend, because the previous agency was just saying, hey, look at our great ROAS. When in fact, they're like, why isn't my business growing? And I think that's actually, I wouldn't say it's criminal, but it's like, it just pisses me off. Because it's like, you can manipulate those numbers any way you want. They're smart enough to know what view-throughs are and what click-throughs are. This dirty little agency was doing this and pulling the wool over these guys' eyes. And they're like, holy crap, you guys saved us like the entire fee for that month just in ad spend. Or we had to tell them that. But what ended up happening is that now we're looking at their Facebook ads. Their Facebook ads aren't getting like a $20 CPA. Now it's actually like a $60 CPA. It tripled. So that was the hard conversation. But if you wrap your head around this concept, this is actually the important thing. And I think so many businesses are getting snowed by their internal teams because they either don't know any better. I'm not going to accuse all internal teams and all agencies of doing this with malicious intent. There's some that just don't friggin' know and probably shouldn't be agencies to begin with. Sorry, Kasim, I'm going on my anti-agency rant here. The point is that this is a big, big problem because we might be the fifth agency or the fifth person to be in the ad account. We're like, I got some bad news for you. Your CPA and your new customers are actually triple what you think they are. They're like, what?
Yeah.
And a tool like Wicked Reports, I hate to say it, like shameless plug, helps show that now.
No shame in that plug, man.
No shame in that plug. I mean, we are shareholders in your company. So people are going to be like, oh, there's Burns like shilling Wicked Reports again. But it is what it is. You need a source of truth. You guys are able to do it. So why don't we go to a screen share here, seeing how we are going on like the shameless plug pitch. I've already gotten down that road. But this is a helpful tool. And we did this to a lot of smart people yesterday in front of the Driven Mastermind. And granted, I was like practically unconscious because I didn't have 9 drugs on board like I do today. So I didn't really say a whole lot. But anyway, you showed this and there's a lot of smart people like, holy crap, I am getting snowed by internal teams. I am blind to all of this. And I think there is a solution for it. You just have to have the right source.
You know what? I'll show one and then we'll have the views turned on and then turned off and you'll see the dramatic.
This is what I want to see. All right. So if you're listening in your car, you're walking your dog or working out.
YouTube content.
I don't know what you're doing, like lying in bed, listen to this. I don't know why you do that, but definitely head over to the Perpetual Traffic channel on YouTube. That's perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. We're going to do a screen share here to show you exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. So here's a couple of Facebook campaigns. You know, here's the spend over, this is a 30 day. So you get your sales and your ROAS you're pretty happy with. Well, here's the new customer count and here's the repeat. They're almost identical. And then here's the new customer versus the repeat. And then, so you see some of the CAC sometimes 106 versus 45. And then the LTV obviously is massively different because he's, you know, his business has been around a while, like, I don't know, 7-8 years. Sometimes you get huge lifetime value coming in from these repeats. So it's tempting to not want to include that. But if you're going on NCAC alone, which he's trying to find new people, like, I don't know, $60, $70. So he's freaking out. He's like, Jesus. You know. And so you can do this right down to the ad set level, because sometimes different ad sets are going to have better or worse, not in this case. And then the ad, sometimes one ad might land, and there's only one ad here. Multiple ads, they might land better or worse. Keep the stats down to the ad level, but let's just keep it at the campaign for simplicity here. It's a huge difference. So I could click on that. Now I have admin rights, so I can't. It would show all the actual customers. And then you could click on each customer and actually see the entire lifetime journey they've had. When you see this, it's first, it's anger. I only want to know, how can that be? Like, well, go in and go click on them. Tell me these people, they've been buying from you for years and they got to like deal with it. And then we got the Facebook measure over here with what they're measuring. So always usually more optimistic at the start and less optimistic at the end sometimes. depends. So, yes, I mean, you'd be managing to this. And if you were like, I need to be below 70, you'd be like, shit, Facebook's not working.
So look at that top campaign there. So that's just typical of what we might see. So it's an evergreen. It's Advantage Plus Shopping. It's an ASC Plus. Mm-hmm. You got cost cap on it. You've got leads. You've got new customer count, 237. Repeat customer count, 238.
Yeah.
So in that case, you really are getting like half of your sales for a prospecting campaign coming from previous customers. Is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which is crazy. Advantage Plus Shop, like in that case, yeah. Do you know, like, if that Advantage Plus Shopping campaign, does it have exclusions? Because, I mean, you're getting a 50-50 mix, which is okay as long as you understand that.
Yeah. And so the all cap, right, is lowered. This is the all customers. Mm-hmm. So this includes the two. It's not just the repeat cost. So it blends it down. So what happens without this, right, is you say, oh, look, I'm making my target of new customer. Just like you said, new customers. I'm below 60, spend infinity. And it's because these 238 are in that mix, which you already had. Just so, in case you're wondering at home. What was your question? Sorry, I got on a tangent there.
So how would I separate this out? How would I say, all right, I want to use this tool because Meta isn't going to be able to decipher this for me. When I'm using an Advantage Plus Shopping campaign, I'm doing everything that they're telling me to do, but I'm still getting a lot of customers in my cold traffic campaigns that are just repeat buyers. So yes. What would the recommendation be using a tool like Wicked Reports?
Well, particularly with this one where you're 115 and their AOV though is higher. So you're still making a $70 spread on the new, even though you don't like that cost. If that $70 spread is good, and then this is your goal NCAC, I'd still spend here, even though you're going to be irritated. You're going to be irritated, but you're making profit on the initial acquisition, and then you're getting just residual money. So I would keep doing it. Now, some of this, again, is BS because they're taking credit for people that you probably are closing on SMS and it's in the face, you know, various things. But my recommendation would be to keep spending if 60 is your target and this profit spread is enough, which it is for him. Mm-hmm. So you keep spending, even though it's not achieving your ultimate goal, though. It still contributes to stagnant or less growth. Your growth targets aren't hit because you buy it and you're like, I need these 486 to be new, not half. The half isn't helping me. And then also, if they're going to be this crappy at the exclusions, and not them, I mean, if Meta is going to be, then you've got to bake that into your forecasting and you've got to be very intentional about your strategies. Like, they have really strong SMS. They close a couple hundred grand a month on text. People buy $300 a lobster at a pop on text. So you're going to have your paid stuff. Your retargeting is going to include the multi-channel approach for Meta because he's not getting it clean as he wants here. So he's got to maximize the LTV. Now down here, we see every LTV on all these, everyone. So he's doing a great job of repeat because everyone that closed, the minimum LTV is almost $500. So even though they're coming in at 100 and something, he is getting to 500 profit.
Right.
So if he can take a longer term approach, which this brand can't, he always frets. But if he could, he's making 3-to-1. So it's not that it's not working. But if he's just going to start killing campaigns because his NCAC is too high, then he's going to miss out on all this. You know, he is making 3-to-1 eventually, just not as fast as he wants.
So it comes down to really knowing your numbers.
Yeah.
Knowing how much you can pay to acquire a customer.
So, I mean, his NCAC goal wasn't hit. And so that makes him sad. And then he's getting repeat customers when he only wanted new. That's a double bummer. So his initial instinct, he'd be like, well, I got to cut the campaign. But you do have to look at the numbers holistically. Those campaigns aren't hitting his new customer acquisition goal. But they are acquiring enough repeat customers. And then also the AOV LTV spread versus the CAC is high enough where he's still going to spend, even though he's not getting what he originally wants, he's making enough, barely enough money there to keep going. So you have to keep a hawk eye on it. If the cap keeps trending up, then he's done. But right now it's right there where he's making $70 on the new customers. He's rising the LTV of his existing, where not on every campaign, but on some of them, he can keep spending even though he's still not happy.
Yeah.
So that's a good case to use. It's not a rosy, oh, look, slam dunk. It's the real world. It's murky. You gotta like make a decision in the face of competing metrics. So that was a good one for us to have on there, actually.
100%. Absolutely. And without NCAC versus CAC or NCAC plus CAC, you would be flying completely blind.
Yeah. Right? And you'd be spending heavy and then not growing.
Right.
Because it's just cannibalizing.
So this is a case where it's not like, oh, Wicked Reports made the lobster guy. You know, an extra million gazillion.
$1 billion.
Right. $1 billion. The point is like now he has visibility and he can make better business decisions because he knows which are new customers and which are repeat customers. And it's really just a simple way of you guys being able to pull from his, well, exactly. How do you guys do it? Because it's sort of an elegantly simple solution here. And even though this isn't a case where like, oh my God, like such a great success story. The point is like this metric, now that it's visible and it's used and it's in the dashboard, it's vitally important for somebody to manage a business and then figure out, okay, maybe I should increase my AOV. Maybe I should spend more on my SMS. Maybe I should just do more top of funnel prospecting, even though I know I'm still going to get more, you know, repeat buyers.
Well, we do it because we're integrated in with the actual real, we only use real data, meaning we don't make up the conversion data. If we can't prove it, we won't give something credit. And it's all transparent in the system. So we're pulling from his orders and inspecting each customer to make sure they were actually new. Yeah. And then we got to cross-reference all the timestamps on the clicks to make sure if we're going to give credit to something new, based on whatever attribution model you picked, those clicks had to occur before the order. And it was before a first order of the customer. Yeah. So there's just a lot of like time stamp math.
So it's, and then your ID and then comparing that to a database, there's a lot more involved in it than just that sort of my simple dev brain. It's like, oh, just cross match it against like previous customers, figure out what the order ID is, and boom, you get your NCAC. But it's a lot more involved.
Well, someone's order ID will tell you if it's, you know, if you look at the date of the order, that will tell you their first order. There's no magic there, but all the click times and figuring out it's before, it fits the model, what they're trying to do. I want to show you one other thing we had talked about. Let's look at his overall Facebook here. Mm-hmm. The view throughs. He's got 365 views in here. So we pull in Facebook views. So 73 grand, 300K. But 77 of it's view. So you see this nice pumped up ROAS. Watch, we go down and we say, no, wait, I don't want to count views. It's going to drop it a full point, a full buck.
Mm.
See, your ROAS dropped one. So that's why people like views, because it's higher. And then your NCAC went up. Everything's worse without views.
Yeah.
So then it becomes a more hairy proposition. If you're going to do strict click, which oftentimes is the right move. If you have great video in your funnel and tons of comments on it, then you can use view. But if you're just doing click ads, the view shouldn't be count nearly as much. Yeah. So if you're using great video, and the video has to be good, not like crap video. But then now you see here, his stats don't look that great. Now you got really high NCACs, low spread, and then it's still acquiring a lot of good repeats, but see less. So a lot of those repeats, remember, it was like 50-50. It was almost identical.
Yeah.
So a lot of them were viewed. So we differentiate the view even by the new or the repeat. It's a lot of, this is not great.
No.
This one would go, maybe. But he wants his CAC to be half. So this isn't good. I mean, his mix, he should shift more to Google, which he does a fair amount of Google for sure.
Right. Right. But you're able to make these decisions. Is my yes. point. If you discount view through as an agent, if you're listening and you're an agency and you're counting view throughs and your conversions, you're probably not giving the full picture to your clients. We usually will discount views and report on clicks, or we will optimize to clicks and then take out views. If we can't get the view part of it so that we're not reporting on it to get a false ROAS, you can absolutely manipulate those numbers. The point is at the end of the day, it's like, more in the bank account versus not. And in Mark's case here, he's got a business problem on Meta, more so than anything. It's like, how do you separate it out? You've got maybe an offer issue. You've got a lot of other things. He's got to really crunch his numbers here. But without this data, he wouldn't be able to even make those decisions, is my point.
Correct. Because you can go back and look historically when he did better, he had a $99 offer. And now they inched up the offer. I mean, everything's every price going up now, unfortunately. My Five Guys the other day was $18. I mean, the $99 offer worked really. So he, yeah, it isn't the higher offer is not converting because you think, oh, well, I'm getting customers and they're paying more. So it's great. And then this can illuminate, no, not in the short term or in the long term. You need the $99 offer, not the $159 and the $139. They're not cutting it.
Right.
Good naming conventions on there so you could see that too. That helped.
Yeah, that's absolutely important to have inside the campaigns to know which offer is the one that's actually, and that's back to good campaign hygiene, using UTMs, using good naming strategies for all your campaigns so you understand exactly what's going on sort of in an instant as well. I know you guys are doing a lot of upgrades on the user interface and adding a lot. And the
lands next week
that we've got here, it sounds like, okay, so that's hitting next week.
So next week we have the big innovation is the Netflix attribution easy button. Me and my team, we had a couple hundred different ways to slice and dice the data. And it used to be we had to try to figure out how to train you up, or you already knew what you were doing, hopefully, or watch some videos, take a course, yada, yada. Now it's the Netflix interface, all the tiles, and you can pick categories like Netflix, you know, instead of horror or sports documentary. It'll be like Facebook new customer acquisition or Google retargeting or whatever your strategies you're trying to focus on. And then you click the card and we have all the settings and all the columns you should use. And the trends are not all dialed in for you already. And all you have to do is update with your KPIs specific to your brand or whatever your unit economics are. And then it will run, and then it will automatically show you that view. It'll save you time, but then you have a disciplined, like your day, you get in there like, okay, this view is things I should scale. And then click this other tab, click this other card. These are things I should cut spend. And then these are like ones that are paying the bills and just keep them on autopilot. So it kind of simplifies a lot of complexity. And then you can automate it so it'll Slack you or email you whenever these things are trips. You don't have to go log in and look at them if you don't want. We'll just email and tell you when it's time to act. It's pretty big, pretty significant upgrade.
We'll have to have you back on in a couple of weeks to show all that on the YouTube channel. We're doing this because nobody else is doing this. So, I mean, it's pretty cool what you guys are doing. So, Scott, obviously, where can people find you? Since you've been on
wickedreports.com, my freshly rewritten, repolished website, did it personally, a little passion project in Q1.
All right. Love it. Love
catching
it. Where can people connect with you personally?
LinkedIn. You know, I'm old school. I'm 52. I'm not on Instagram every day or whatever. LinkedIn. I like LinkedIn. It's like LinkedIn. Business to the point. It's where I like it.
That's right. That's right. I dig it too. So, well, very cool. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Make sure that you subscribe or leave a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow me on LinkedIn as well, old school there, like Scott is, as well as Kasim over on all the socials at Kasim Aslam. He's a millennial, so he's like on all the other social medias. Although you can see me occasionally like doing a guitar solo or two on like Instagram and Facebook. So I do post those just for the shits and giggles. But go back and listen to previous episodes, of course, and we will leave all links and resources in our show notes over at perpetualtraffic.com. If you didn't get a chance to watch Scott's walkthrough, check out our YouTube channel at perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. On behalf of my awesome co-host, Kasim Aslam,
peace.
Until next show, see ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.